Ephesians chapter 6 is where we are to study tonight as we continue on with our study of the armor of the Christian soldier that we are to put on that Paul speaks about here in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Happy to see that more of our young people who made that band trip yesterday have come back to life tonight, revived from the dead. Happy to see each and every person here. And those of you who are visiting with us, we're very thankful to have you with us tonight. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 6. Beginning in verse number 10 there, well, I've read this every Sunday night for several weeks in a row. Maybe it's not needed to read it again tonight. Let's just go down to the last part of it there. We, last Sunday night, in verse 17, studied about the helmet of salvation or the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God that we are to put on. And we studied about all the parts of the Christian soldier's armor that he has to put on. This was in order, of course, that we might stand in the power and the strength of the Lord. It's his power, it's his strength that's supplied to us as we put on these various things. The truth and righteousness and the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And all of these we will find the source of strength and help that we need to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, to stand against Satan. And the last one tonight, which will end this series, found in verse number 18, where he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so he closes out this section in regards to the Christian soldier by talking about prayer. Prayer, of course, is the Christian soldier's line of communication to his commander-in-chief. As every soldier must know what the battle plan is and must receive his direction and guidance from the one in command, so we also, our commander, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, as he is spoken of in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 10, or the author of our salvation, our leader, in other words, as it is translated in some translations. So we must put on then the armor of the Christian soldier. But prayer is an essential part of the life of the Christian soldier also. Let's go to our Heavenly Father then in prayer at this time as we think about this part of our work as a Christian soldier. Loving Father, we come before thy throne. We come to ask that you be with us now at this time. We praise your name and give you thanks and glory for all that you have done and that you continue to do for us. We're so thankful that we can be thy children. Help us, Father, to appreciate the opportunity that we have as soldiers in your army and to ever be diligent in seeking to be faithful and diligent in serving thee as a Christian soldier. Forgive us of our sins. Be with those that are not able to be with us this night. It's in Christ's holy name we do pray. Amen. I just had a thought there. I think we failed to get Susan Waller in our announcements today also. She should be added to our sick list. Notice the first thing that he says there is praying always. Prayer needs to be constant. It is not something that we should do now and then or just do an emergency type of situation. Paul was a man for all seasons when it came to prayer, because prayer and supplication unto God needs to be offered constantly. In Colossians 1 and verse 9, he said of the Colossians that he did not cease to pray for them. In Romans 1 and verse 9 also, he mentioned to the Romans, without ceasing, he says, I make mention of you in my prayers. We should, like Paul, be in constant communication without ceasing for one another, for the Lord's body at this place, for people to whom the gospel is being carried at the present time, for our gospel meeting as the prayer was offered tonight. We need to be in constant communication with God in reference to prayer. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 2, Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you all. How we need to give thanks to God for each and every Christian. I give thanks to God for each and every one of you, and particularly for those of you who are so faithful and so diligent, can always be counted on in the work of the Lord. I give thanks to God for the growth that I've seen in the lives of many individuals in this congregation, for the progress and the diligence that I see in your life. One time, two people were having some difficulty and they were in trouble. And one of them said, well, says, if you know how to pray, then pray now. And the other one said, well, is it really that bad? In other words, it seems that their understanding was that prayer was something to be used only in a case of an emergency. That only if when things got really bad and we couldn't take care of it ourselves, then we turned to God. But prayer must be something in which we constantly engage. We must not give up the habit of prayer, but must make it a continual habit for us each and every day. As I find difficulties arising in my life, as I find pressures of trying to reach out to people who are in need, trying to help and assist people who have problems or difficulties, and I find the pressure of that coming upon me constantly, I sometimes remember that I must go to Heavenly Father in prayer, and I need to take out more time for prayer, and to get away and to be able to have a time when I can be alone and pray to the Heavenly Father and find the strength. That's the example we have of Jesus. Many times whenever he had been so busy and working with the people and teaching and performing many miracles, he sought to be alone from the crowd, to get away, and called his disciples to get away for the same purpose. But notice he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This is a phrase here which has caused me to do a great deal of study, as he talks about here, praying in the Spirit. That phrase is found, or a similar phrase is found in the book of Jude, in Jude chapter 20. I think perhaps the idea is perhaps the same here in Jude, I say chapter 20, if you know what I'm talking about, is Jude verse number 20, where we read, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, we recognize that we are to pray in spirit and in truth, as we're to worship in spirit and truth, John 4 and verse number 24. And Paul wrote in the Corinthians chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding. Seeming to be said in reference to our praying with the spirit, not just praying from our lips, but praying with our soul and our heart and in the spirit, and attuned to spiritual matters as we pray. But in Jude here, this phrase is here, praying in the Holy Spirit. And perhaps this is a, perhaps he has something different in mind, maybe something going beyond that. There are several passages in which the phrase is used in the Spirit. And I begin to look up some of those passages there that seem to have reference to the Holy Spirit, because I think that's probably what Paul has in mind here, like in Jude when it's written there, praying in the Holy Spirit. For example, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 45, the phrase is used in the Spirit, where Jesus says of David, that David in the Spirit called him Lord. When he said, the Lord said unto my Lord. David in the Spirit there called him Lord. In Revelation 1 and verse number 10, John says that on the Lord's day, he was in the Spirit. In several places throughout the book of Revelation, John uses that. In Revelation 4 and verse 10, he says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And he saw his first vision, you might say, there. And then in Revelation 17 and verse 3, he says, he carried me away in the Spirit and showed him another vision there. In several places I found the scriptures use this in the Spirit in this way. And so it seems to be used in reference to people under the influence of the Spirit. Under the control of the Spirit, you might say. And perhaps it's the same idea as is found in Ephesians 5 and verse number 18, where the Apostle Paul says there that we should not be filled with wine, which is dissipation, but he says, be filled with the Spirit. The idea there being under the influence of the Spirit, being filled or with or by the Spirit, so that our actions, the things we do, are under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, this does necessarily have reference to it being controlled and dominated by the Holy Spirit, as the apostles when they wrote by inspiration. But we today can still act under the influence of the Holy Spirit as we do those things that the Lord has told us, instructed us of what to do. We act under the influence, under the control, under the instructions of the Holy Spirit. So to be under or to be in the Spirit seems to me is usually used in reference to being under the influence and control of the Spirit. How does one pray then in the Holy Spirit? Well, it seems then that involved in this to me would be the idea first, I would say, it has reference to praying under the influence of the Holy Spirit. By the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that he guides us in his instructions and through his word, he tells us what we are to do when we pray. Our prayers need to be according to the Holy Spirit, the instructions according to the will of God, the instructions given to us by the Holy Spirit. That our prayer should be prompted by the Holy Spirit. What things does he tell us to pray for? They should be by his will. Our prayers must be according to the will of God. Prayers that are offered, that are not under the influence of the direction and guidance and promptings of the Holy Spirit, certainly not going to be heard by God. And it would include this idea of praying from the heart and soul, not just from the lips. You know, Jesus said that we, when we pray, should not stand on the street corners and repeat a bunch of words thinking we're going to be heard for our much speaking in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. But it says, when you pray, then enter into your closet, into your secret room, into your little room. Many times in the land in Palestine, on top of the house, there might have been a little private room. And he says, go there, be alone, and pray in secret, and Father, see in secret, and reward you openly. That type of prayer where one prays is not prayer, it's not said, it's not prayed in order for other people to hear. I'm afraid many times whenever we have a public prayer, like here when we stand up before somebody else, we are worried or concerned more about what we say and people hearing what we say than this really being a prayer that comes from our heart and from our soul. And what we might say if we were in secret or alone with God. And so if prayer needs to be from the heart, the soul, not just from the lips. And then there is a passage in Romans chapter 8 that might be tied to this, in Romans 8, verse number 26, where that the Apostle Paul, says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And it may be that this is involved. Whenever we pray that prayer according to the will of God is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and we pray earnestly and fervently from the heart, then the Holy Spirit's involved in that prayer as he makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. But he says this prayer is not something to be taken lightly then. And it's not just to come forth from our lips. So it must be a constant. It must be always. We need it every day. There's not a day that goes by that we do not need to spend time in prayer. That goes along with the importance of praying constantly. Praying in the Spirit. And then, of course, with this idea is the soldier's prayer life needs to be intense. Notice in verse number 18, he speaks about watch and pray, and watch and being watchful and perseverance, he says there. Watchful and prayer. And we need to, this brings the idea of being diligent in it, persevering. The word watch means to be on guard, to be vigilant, ready at all times. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, whenever he went to the garden to pray, you remember? And there he prayed and came back and found them all asleep. And he woke them up and said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Prayer is a means of giving us help and strength to overcome temptation. How often are we tempted? How often does Satan come throwing his darts and his missiles at us in this battle we are engaged in him? How often does that happen? Every day, doesn't it? Every day. Maybe many times every day. Temptations, trials, difficulties come our way. And so we need to spend time in prayer to get our help, our strength. If we want to overcome those temptations, then we need to be diligent and intense in our prayer life. You know, whenever we will take time to pray for some weakness of the flesh that we have, it'll help us to overcome that weakness, will it not? It gives us the strength, perhaps, that we need to stand against that. It's hard to say and spend time in prayer, Lord, help me not to be envious. Let's just use that as an example. Maybe I have the temptation to be envious of someone. Lord, help me not to be envious. Help me to love this person, you know, that I might envy about something. Help me to have the right attitude toward them. That'll give us strength to overcome that temptation. And it'll be much more difficult for Satan to be able to tempt us in regards to that. And so we need to be watchful in it. The devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. Prayer can help us to overcome him. And then the word perseverance means to be steadfast and persistent in it. You remember Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1 that men ought to pray always and not to faint or not to lose heart. The King James says not to faint. I did not to lose heart. Don't become discouraged. You know, sometimes we might begin to think that our prayer is not answered just like that, you know. Or we don't get the answer that we feel we want to get, or we still have difficulties. He says, don't give up. You keep on persisting in it.
Don't become discouraged. Don't lose heart. And then, remember, he told the parable about the widow that came asking for her for revenge on her enemies. And the judge wouldn't hear her request, but she just kept on and kept on. And so he says, will not your heavenly Father avenge those that come to him in the same way? This judge didn't fear God. But he says, you're just going to weary me by her continual coming. So he says, persist in it. We mustn't become discouraged about it. Is there something that your heart desires? Is there something that you want to do? You know, we need to learn to pray for those things that are according to the will of God. We need to look out and see. We're going to talk about that more a little bit later on here. But we need to look out and see those things that we should be praying for. What should we be praying for? We're going to talk about, so he mentions some of the things here that we should be praying for. But we must persevere in it. Colossians 4 and verse 2 says to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And the word continue here, the New King James translates it continue earnestly. Another translation says continue it steadfastly. The idea here is to continue it steadfastly, diligently. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Romans 12, verse 12, continuing instant, or again, that could be translated steadfastly in prayer. So we must be watchful and we must persevere in prayer. But then what does he say here that the soldier should pray about? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Now that's the New King James. Twice it says the word supplication. What's supplication? Well, it says for the saints. It's prayer made for other people. Prayer should be unselfish. The soldier's prayer should be unselfish. He's engaged in a battle for the souls of men. He needs to be praying for others, for other saints, for other Christians, for those that are lost. Supplication for all the saints. And Paul says, pray for me also, verse number 19, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. We need to pray for those who are preaching the gospel. We need to pray for those who are teaching our Bible classes, that they might be an effective teacher of God's word, speak the word boldly. He says, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now twice he mentions that they should pray for him that he might speak boldly. And not once does he say, pray for me that I might get out of this stinking dungeon. Didn't say that, did he? Paul wasn't thinking about himself. It wasn't a selfish prayer. That's not what the Christian should be thinking about. Success in life and in being a Christian soldier and happiness and joy does not come in self-centeredness. It comes, as we talked about this morning, in sacrificing for others. So he says, pray for all the saints, supplication. We have many examples of such things in the scriptures where that the people prayed for others. Acts 12, verse 5, when Peter was in prison, says the church was in prayer constantly for him, for his release. Paul prayed that he might, even in the difficult situation here, he asked them to pray that even the difficult situation which he found himself, he might be effective servant of the Lord. And that should be our prayer. That the Lord would help us to overcome any difficulties that we might have. Help us to overcome whatever fears we might have. Maybe I'm afraid. Maybe I think I don't know enough. Whatever my problem might be in trying to teach the word or speak to others about it, I need to pray the Lord that he'd help me to overcome it, that I might be a more effective servant in his kingdom, that others might hear the gospel. And I need to pray for others that they might overcome any particular difficulty that they might have, so that they can be an effective servant in preaching of the gospel. We are like Paul here also in another sense. He says, for which I am an ambassador in chains. We, like Paul, are ambassadors. ambassadors of Christ to carry the message of salvation to all of the lost. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10 speaks about that. Paul says, I am debtor. We said this morning from Romans 1 verse 14 and 15, I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, he says, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you also who are at Rome. But we, like Paul, are ambassadors, and we should also be praying that we will carry out God's given obligations to us with all boldness, that we might be effective in delivering the gospel message. We need to pray for our efforts in this gospel meeting. We need to pray for people that we want to invite to come. Is there someone you'd like to bring with you to the gospel meeting? Pray for them. I dare you to. I dare you to pray for the speaker. I dare you to pray for people you'd like to see obey the gospel during this gospel meeting. Prayers for others and concern for others will change our lives. Prayer can change our lives. We are ambassadors. We too often are concerned only for ourselves, and our prayers are for ourselves. Selfish type of prayers. Give me this. Help me to do this. Take care of this. When our prayers need to be prayers for others, reaching out to others. James says in James 4 and verse number 2, told the people there, he said, you ask amiss and you receive not, because you ask that you might spend it upon your own lusts. Our prayers need to be for others. Why pray for others? There are many benefits that could be involved. I jotted down five here I'd like to share with you before we close. One, we pray for others in order that they might be blessed. Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 1 and verse 19. He says, for I know this, that this will turn out for my salvation through your prayers. Paul was in prison. He didn't know what was going to happen. There were people preaching the gospel for wrong motives and some for right motives. And didn't know what was going to happen, but he says, I know that through your prayers it'll turn out for my salvation. Prayer for others, it needs to be done that they may be blessed. Secondly, prayer for others will help to remove jealousy and envy from us that we might have for others. Pray about that jealousy or envy that we might feel for somebody else. Thirdly, it will remove hatred of our enemies. Jesus told us to pray for our enemies, didn't he? Those that despitefully use you and persecute you. It'll help to resolve that situation if we'll pray for them. And if we can get them to sit still long enough to have prayer together with them, then we ought to pray together with them. Praying for others will, in the fourth place, help to unite people together in a common purpose. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 19, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. If we will agree upon it, we need to put our heads together in prayer. I hope and trust that as we prayers. Brother Ollie worded this prayer tonight for those various things, for people that were sick, for the efforts of our gospel meeting, that maybe you didn't say it out loud, but you said amen to that prayer in your heart. As we put our prayers together, and it's not just one voice of one person crying in the wilderness there, so to speak, but all our prayers together ascend before the throne of God. And it will help to unite us in that common purpose. When Paul wrote Philemon, in verse number 22, he gave instructions there. He says, prepare your guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Through their prayers, praying together. Prayer together unites people together in a common purpose. And then the last thing I would mention is that praying for others develops a spirit of hope and optimism that is a sustaining strength in our lives. When we pray for others, then it helps to have us that spirit of optimism. The Lord prayed for Peter, you remember. Lord told Peter, he said, Satan desires to have you that ye might sift you for wheat, but I prayed for you. And the Lord said, then when you have repented, Lord had a spirit of optimism. There was something, some optimism, expectation that was going to sustain them through the trial and the difficulty that Peter was to undergo, and which the Lord was about to undergo as he was to be taken and by cruel hands crucified upon Calvary's cross. And so we need that hope and that optimism and that sustaining strength. We pray for one another. You know, the more I study about prayer and the importance of prayer in the Christian's life, the more I am convinced that there are many, many Christians that are missing the boat in regards to prayer. I've done some other preparations for in regards to the study of prayer, which I don't have time. And I've been carrying some notes about it around here in the back of my Bible. See, they're almost enough to make a sermon out of here. And one day, well, there'll be enough to make a sermon out of them that have to do with prayer. We need to think about it more. Summing it all up, we can say that the Christian soldiers to offer all kinds of prayers at all seasons with all perseverance for all saints. I dare you to become a praying Christian. Pray for others. Pray for the work of the Lord. Pray for the widows and orphans. Pray for people that are having difficulties and emotional strain or stress within their lives, or Christians who are weak that are members of this congregation. Pray for them. We now want to stop and offer the invitation. There may be one that's out of Christ, maybe some that need to obey the Lord's instructions to become a Christian. Or maybe some of us recognize that we have a problem in regards to prayer, and maybe we need to ask the Lord's forgiveness and the Lord's help and the prayer of other Christians that we might be stronger. If you're out of Christ, you know your heart is not right with God, as the words of this song says, why go home this night in lost condition? We plead with you to respond. Is your heart right with God? If not, will you not make it right? While we stand now, while we sing.